And we can talk tonight about light over darkness. And you know, last week we had kind of a heavy-duty kind of message, the darkness of Antichrist. Sounds kind of scary, kind of spooky, right? But tonight I have a very positive message for you this evening, and it's entitled The Light of Love. The Light of Love. And as I was looking at this, I came across a story about a lighthouse in Minot, Massachusetts. I won't say Minnesota. It's Minot, Massachusetts. And actually, it's Scituate, Massachusetts, but it's called the Minot Light. And many lonely sailors through the years have been cheered by the flashing signal from the light. The light flashes once, then pause, then four, then three. And if you know anything about Morse code and stuff, that'll make sense. So it's one, then four, then three. And through the years, people have said that the signal that is being flashed is I love you for the number of letters that are there. Several years ago, as the story goes, the Coast Guard decided that they were going to replace the old equipment and change the flashing of the beacon. They said that for technical reasons, the new machine would be unable to flash the I love you message. But there was a public outrage. They protested, and finally the Coast Guard gave in. And to this day, the equipment remains, and it continues to send out its signal in flashes of light, I love you. And I want you to understand, as we look at 1 John chapter 3 tonight, we learn of a bright light from heaven that is flashing out tonight, a message. And that message is, I love you. God loves us. And He has gone to great lengths to show His love to us. Now I want you to look here at 1 John chapter 3 and think about everything that we can have in Christ, all right? Think about everything that we get when we accept His gift of love, when we accept His gift of salvation. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifies himself, even as he is pure. As we look at this tonight, the light of love, as we look at 1 John chapter 3, 1 through 3, I would submit to you this evening, you must receive His gift of love. You should respond to that message of light that is being sent out from heaven, that message from God that says, I love you. That message that says, I would go so far as to die on a cross to ensure that I could spend eternity with you in heaven. My friend, I want you to understand tonight, God loves you, and you ought to receive His gift of love. You must receive His gift of love. Some time ago, Newsweek ran an article about a little-known mental disorder, and that mental disorder is called erotomania. Now listen to what the disorder is. It is a mental illness in which a person has the delusion that he or she is the object of someone's love. Maybe you've met people that you think may have this delusion. People who have this disorder imagine love affairs that continue for years, yet it all exists only in the imagination of the sufferer. Now, the title of that article that was run in Newsweek was simply, The Delusions of Love. Now, I want you to understand tonight, while there may be many delusions about romantic love, about earthly love, there is no delusion regarding God's love. It is spelled out very clearly in the Word of God. And though it may seem crazy to some, and to be honest with you, I don't fully understand why a God who has everything would want to love a sinner like me, I can tell you tonight that it's not a delusion. It's real. And it's available to anyone here tonight who will simply reach out and receive His gift of love this evening. Now, as we look at 1 John chapter 3, I want to show you three things that happen when we receive God's gift of love. There's three things that become new that I see from these three verses in 1 John chapter 3. And so as we look at this tonight, first direct your attention to verse number 1. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Now, what a wonderful thing that is. You know, when we come to Christ, we get a new designation. Over in Romans chapter 5, it tells us that before we come to God, it describes us as enemies of God. Now imagine that transition to go from being an enemy of God to being called a very child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God. Turn, if you will, keep your place here in 1 John and turn back to the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospel of John. And I want you to look at the very first chapter of John's Gospel. And this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, because it tells us exactly how we can have God's salvation. And it expresses it in terms that are very comforting as to what we get when we receive the gift that God has given. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." When we accept God's gift of love, we become part of God's family. Now, some people would say that we're all God's children. And I would tell you tonight, yes, we were all created by God, but we are not all sons of God. We're not all daughters of God. That is something that's only available, as John 1 verse 12 says, it's only available to those who have received Him. You say, who is the Him that it's talking about, Pastor Jimmy? If you'll look at John chapter 1, you'll see that it's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God's love gift sent to us from heaven. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1, you can turn back over to our main text in 1 John chapter 3. That phrase that is translated there, "Behold what manner of love," actually literally means, "Behold what strange, peculiar, out of this world kind of love the Father has given to us." My friend, never lose the wonder of what God has offered to us through His gift of love. Never lose the wonder of God's love. The author says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us." We are given the designation, the title of a son of God, a daughter of God. We become part of the family of God. In other words, the same kind of love that God has for His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that same kind of love He has for you and for me. When we receive His gift of love, we get the same affection and the same inheritance and the same everything else from the Father as what Jesus Christ has. What a wonderful gift it is that God has given to us. Listen to this story. Our Sunday school superintendent had two new boys in Sunday school. In order to register them, he had to ask their ages and birthdays. The bolder of the two brothers said this, "We're both 7. My birthday is April 8th, 1976, and my brother's is April 20th, 1976. The Sunday school superintendent said, well, that's impossible. The quieter brother said, no, it's not. One of us is adopted. Which one? Asked the superintendent before he caught himself. The boys looked at each other and smiled, and the bolder one said to the superintendent, we asked Dad a while back, but he just said he loved us both, and he couldn't remember anymore which one was adopted. You know, that's the kind of love that our Heavenly Father displays toward us when we accept His gift of love. When we receive that gift of salvation that Jesus Christ died on the cross to give us. We become the object of God's affection just as much as our brother, Jesus. We become a son, a daughter of God. Think about that tonight. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. We get a new designation, a new title. We can be called a son, a daughter of God. Not only do I see that through Christ, through His gift of love, do we get a new designation, but you know, we also get a new expectation. Look at verse 2. John goes on and says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. You know, we have a great hope. We have a great promise. We have the expectation that death is not the end. For the believer, Jesus Christ could come back at any moment and we would be raptured up to heaven and would be transformed into that glorious transformation that is spoken of here in verse 2. But if we should be taken by death, we also have the promise in the resurrection that someday we have that great expectation of a new body and a new life forever in heaven with God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 tells us what we are. We are sons of God. That's, we get it right away when we accept this gift of love. But 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 tells us what we shall be. When we see Him, we are promised that we will be like He is. It reminds us of that Old Testament story when Moses went up on the mountain and met with God and received the Ten Commandments. And do you remember when he came back down? He had not seen God face to face. You remember, even the Old Testament says no man hath seen God and lived. But because he had been so close to God, his face glowed insomuch that he had to put a veil on his face. We can only imagine what it will be like for us when we see Him as He is and the glorious transformation that will then take place. What an expectation, what a promise that we have through His gift of love. Norman Vincent Peale tells a story of the early days of his ministry. He was in Brooklyn, New York. One Christmas Eve, he was out visiting some families, and he walked by a doorway. He noticed that on the door was the red ribbon of Christmas, but then there was a black wreath of mourning on it. While the people who lived there were not part of his ministry, he decided that he would go and visit this family that had experienced a tragedy here during the Christmas season. He knocked on the door, and the father of the family came to the door. Dr. Peale introduced himself and was invited in. He sought to give condolences to the family, and he saw sitting in the room a small casket where the body of their six-year-old daughter that had died was resting. He expressed his sympathy to the father, and the father said this. He said, Dr. Peale, it's going to be all right, for she's with God now, you know. And while they were talking, Dr. Peale could hear in the next room the mother of the family reading the Bible to two little boys, and he heard her reading these words, "Because I live, you shall live also." You know, just like that family tonight, those who have accepted Christ's gift of love, we have an expectation, we have a hope that one day we will be resurrected and we will be forever with the Lord and we will be changed, we will be transformed and be like He is. What a wonderful promise that is that we have. When we receive His gift of love, indeed, not only do we get a new designation, but we get a new expectation. And then in verse 3, I want you to notice what it says. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." You know, when we receive that gift of love from God, not only do we have a new designation, not only do we have a new expectation, but we have a new aspiration. And that aspiration is to be like the one that we love, to purify ourselves, to be like God, who is indeed pure. Warren Wiersbe says this, think about this tonight. An unbeliever who sins, an unbeliever, someone who has not accepted that gift of love, that is a creature sinning against his Creator. But a Christian who sins is a child sinning against his Father. The unbeliever sins against law. The believer sins against love. You know, there's a different relationship for a believer that willfully goes against what his Father has told him to do. It's not simply like an unbeliever doing the wrong thing. That's simply the creature going against the Creator. But when we who have been made sons of God go against what our Heavenly Father has laid out, my friend, it's just like a child going against the will of a loving father. Listen to this illustration. A group of teenagers were enjoying a party, and someone suggested that they go to a certain restaurant for a good time. "I'd rather you took me home," Jan said to her date. "My parents don't approve of that place." "Afraid your father will hurt you?" one of the girls asked sarcastically. "No," Jan replied. "I'm not afraid my father will hurt me, but I am afraid I might hurt him." You know, that is the relationship that the believer should have when it comes to sin and the things that have been laid out in the Bible that we should not do and the things that we should do. We should understand that whenever we disobey what God has laid out for us, that we are hurting Him. He has given such love to us, and yet we don't follow through with the things that He's asked us. You know, one of the most difficult things for me to do as a father is to discipline Kara. I don't like it. I wish, and I tell her this many times, "Please, Kara, why don't you simply obey me so I don't have to be stern, so I don't have to discipline you." I don't like it one bit. When she goes against the things that I've asked her to do, it hurts. And you know, it's the same relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. When we go against the things that He's told us to do, it hurts Him. It's like a child going against what a loving father has asked that child to do. You know, there's a song by Ray Bolt, and the lyrics are just so powerful. It's called, "Do You Still Feel the Nails?" Listen to these words. The verse says, "They tell me Jesus died for my transgression, that He paid that price a long, long time ago, when He gave His life for me on a hill called Calvary. But there's something else I want to know." And the chorus says this, "Does He still feel the nails every time I fail? Can He hear the crowd cry, "Crucify again"? Am I causing Him pain? Then I know I've got to change. I just can't bear the thought of hurting Him. You know, I think that if we could get a glimpse of the cross, if we could understand how ugly our sin really is, with this wonderful gift of love that He's given us, if we could understand how much our sin hurts our Heavenly Father, I believe then we would be willing to live and to do what John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 says, to purify ourselves and to strive to live and be as close to His purity as possible. My friend, you ought to receive His love gift tonight. If you do so, then there is a new designation that comes with it. There's a new expectation. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And then there's a new aspiration. When we come to Christ and understand that great love that He's bestowed upon us, there should be within us a desire to please Him, a desire to do the things He asks us to do, and a fear that if we disobey, that it will hurt our Heavenly Father. My friend, I want you to understand tonight how much we have through Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that that gift of love is available for you this evening. I want to close with the words of a poem. John Greenleaf Whittier wrote this poem. He says, "I know not what the future hath of marvel or surprise, assured along that life and death God's mercy underlies. I know not where His islands lift their fronded palms in air. I only know I cannot drift beyond His love and care." My friend, God has bestowed a great love upon us, but it is only available to those who will, even as John chapter 1, verse 12 declares, it's only available to those who will receive Him. He will not force His love upon anyone. If we want to go on thinking that we're righteous and that we're a pretty good person and we can make it to heaven on our own, then we can't get the gift. The only way to receive that gift is to realize how horrible our sin is, admit that we are sinners, and accept His love gift, accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross as payment for our sin. Receive that gift of salvation tonight.